Previously on the Nights of Layla.
He picked me up and the holy guy up and tried to throw us over the railing into the water and...
Wait. Slow down, Dabo. Are you sure it was Adnan?
Yes, of course. I've met him before. Anyway, the holy-looking guy prayed some stuff and all of a sudden Adnan just crumbled and collapsed like a wrecked doll and we all fell down.
No, man. That sounds a bit far-fetched.
You have to believe me, Salman. Your brother-in-law has some kind of...
That must be Adnan.
Dabo, Adnan is here now. I'll find out what happened and get back to you.
I'll open.
Mona, please take a seat. You look exhausted.
Maulana, we Adnan's bearers. We've never met when you were treating Adnan while you were still at Madrasa, but we have spoken to you on the phone many times.
Gee, Appa. Unfortunately, Adnan has been going through something similar to what he experienced at Madrasa.
Oh, no. I guess as much. Is he being affected by Jean again, Maulana?
Yes.
It seems that there is something trying to strangle Uncle Ishaq. I feel a strong presence from the other world in this house.
Maulana, I'm going to call an ambulance because I can't bear to see my husband like this.
Wait, Appa, wait. Give me a few minutes.
Nuri, how did this get here?
Majid, I'm telling you, I don't know.
But Nuri, a gold necklace can't just appear from nowhere and land in our suitcase.
Majid, listen, please. I'm telling you that I don't know.
Do you think this is a necklace that Layla's mother-in-law was looking for?
Well, I suppose it must be. But maybe someone put it there.
Are you saying that someone planted it in our case?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it was Maria the maid. Or maybe it was Layla's friend Humaira. She kept saying how she also wanted to get married and she wanted a husband as good as Salman. I think she's jealous of Layla and wants Salman for herself. So maybe she put the necklace in our case knowing that the Adams would become suspicious and hateful towards Layla when they found out.
Nuri, how can you say that? Humaira is such a sweet girl and she's a close friend of our Layla. Don't you know that we can't have suspicions about other people without proof? We are supposed to have good thoughts about our fellow Muslims.
Yes, Maj. Sorry, you're right. I shouldn't have said that. But what are we going to do about this now?
We'll just have to take the necklace back to the Adams and tell them that we found it in our case.
Don't be crazy, Maj. They'd never believe us if we say we found it in our case. They'll all think we stole it.
This is the Night of Layla. Come, dear friends, come up to the house in the hill, enclosed by darkness once more. Loud and deafening night sounds surround the house, but they can only be heard by the creatures of the other world. While to humans, it sounds like that peaceful time of night when the noises of the day are washed away by the soft rain that is falling from the sky. But in the Adams house, an unreal silence has descended. Ishaq is finally asleep, his restlessness giving way to a state of calm, and the choking sounds that he was emitting just moments ago have ceased altogether. The Adams family and the doctor leave Ishaq to sleep while Maulana Zahir continues praying over him. They gather in the lounge downstairs.
Ya Allah, that was the scariest thing ever.
At least Papa is finally sleeping peacefully.
What on earth was that? It was as if your father had a demon that wanted to strangle him.
In my 40 years as a doctor, this is the first time that I've encountered such a strange thing.
Doctor, Jazakallah for coming at this critical time. I'm sure you must be exhausted. Let me help you to your car. and I'll come and see you in the morning and settle the pub.
Salman leads the doctor out of the house and comes back just in time to hear Soda shouting at Layla.
Layla, this is all your fault. If you hadn't gotten married to my brother, after being with that Napa character Zunaid, all this genie and Jadu characters would have never entered our house. And...
Sauda, how can you say that?
Soda, that was totally uncalled for.
Let's all calm down. This has been a stressful evening and I'm sure you didn't really mean that. Did you, Soda?
Of course I did, Saf. Layla has been nothing but trouble since the day she came. And now her so-called gene is affecting Papa.
Soda, just get out of here, man.
Right. That's enough. Your father had just been through a difficult time. First with the accident and now with this. And all his grown children can do is stand here and fight while he tries to recover. Sauda, go to your room. And when you feel you can control your tongue, come out and apologize to both Layla and your brother.
But, okay, Mommy, I'm sorry.
Mommy, this is the first time I ever heard you reprimand Sauda.
Salman, Sauda is a grown woman, but she has to know her limitations. Layla came into our home and is our responsibility to look after her and treat her well. She has been nothing but pleasant and kind to all of us, not even reacting when I've passed endless comments against her. And I think I owe you an apology too, Layla. I know it may seem like I don't hold you in a high esteem because you're Malay, a divorcee, and from a poor family. But after meeting your parents and seeing what wonderful people they are, and the way you stand by all of us, I know that I was wrong to judge you. Please forgive.
Mommy, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry for all the wrong things I've said to you and...
Shh. It's okay, Lails. Everything is going to be fine from now on. Inshallah. We'll get this jinn business sorted out once and for all. Safiya, why don't you take Mommy up to your room for tonight? I want to speak to Mona Zahir first. I'm going to sleep on the couch in Mommy's room in case Dad wakes up. Layla, I think you should also get back to bed. You look exhausted.
No, I'm fine. I'll come up with you.
The ladies all leave the lounge. And Salman and Layla go back to his parents' room where Ishaq is in a deep and restful sleep to discuss matters with Mona.
Your father is fast asleep now. I think I should also get going.
No, Mona, please, wait. We planned for you to be here so that you could do some treatment. Well, now it's a perfect opportunity. I know it's way after hours, Manana, but I'll definitely make it worth your while, inshallah.
Salman, it's not about money. I didn't realize the magnitude of the force we are dealing with until now that I've been in this house.
Manana, then you really do have to help us.
Will Papa be okay?
Inshallah, definitely. He's not possessed or anything. It was just that... whatever it is in here is trying to hurt him. Alhamdulillah, it seems to have left now.
Layla, I'm surprised that Ma didn't even wake up with all the commotion that's been going on.
She told me that she's been very restless for the past few nights. So this evening, Sauda gave her a sleeping tablet. It seems to have knocked her out.
No wonder she slept through everything. Mona, that thing that was trying to choke my father, was it some type of jinn?
All jinn are invisible. Salman, well, at least to us they are. Animals and young babies are able to see them, and special needs people as well. But I doubt you will ever be able to see them. Even I do not see them, but rather I feel their presence. I will get to work making up some tawis that you can leave in all the rooms.
Mulana, the strangest thing happened, which I think you ought to know about. My pa was here earlier to visit Papa, and he happened to mention that he and my ma came down to Durban because they've also been having some weird experiences at the house in Cape Town. Is it possible that the jinn that had taken up residence in their home are the same jinn that are here in this house? And if it has to do with sihr, would you be able to tell us who it is that's causing all these problems in our house?
Layla, I'm sure what you are telling me isn't just a coincidence, but my job is to help you get rid of whatever is plaguing you, not to play detective and find out who it is. The most I can tell you is that someone has been jealous of your good fortune in marrying Salman after your divorce from Zunaid, and this person has sent some evil jinn to disturb the relationship between the two of you, to try to harm you, and to plant suspicion in everyone's minds. You can rest assured that the person responsible is not a family member. Sister Leila, remember you said that when you almost had that car crash yesterday, you started reciting Ayatul Kursi. Well, you saw for yourself that the Quran and supplicating to Allah are the only things that can help. Inshallah, with all the ta'wiz and the amals that I have given you, along with constant recitation of Quran in the home, the jadu will be removed.
Is it possible that this jinn could be involved with my mother's missing necklace?
Salman, the jinn can't be blamed for everything, you know. It is possible, but it's more likely that the necklace was stolen.
And what about the fact that I can't seem to fall pregnant? The doctor assured me that medically speaking, I'm in perfectly good health. So it can't be that.
Well, once the sihr is removed, inshallah, it will be possible for it to happen. But that is all in Allah's hands. It's late now, so I'd better get going. Please come and lock up, Salman. I will leave you with this hadith narrated by Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Cover your utensils and tie your water skins, and close your doors and keep your children close to you at night, as the jinn spread out at such times and snatch things away. When you go to bed, put out your lights, for the mischief doer, that is the rat, may drag away the wick of the candle and burn the dwellers of the house."
Leila is back in the forest. The sun is shining through the canopy of trees, casting dappled shadows on the ground as a gentle breeze rustles the leaves, causing silhouettes to sway to and fro. She sees something glinting on the ground, but when she bends to pick it up, she's astonished to find that it is her mother-in-law's necklace. Leila calls over to Salman, but he has disappeared into the thick undergrowth. A feeling of fear and panic engulfs her. Suddenly, she's standing at the edge of a cliff, trying hard not to look down, when suddenly a hand grasps at her shoulder and starts to shake her.
Makoti, Makoti, wake up.
What is it? Where am I?
Makoti, I think you were having a bad dream. I came to wake you up because that friend of yours, Humaira, she is here to see you.
Oh, what's the time?
It's 11 o'clock.
Ya Allah! I've never slept so late in my life. Can you send Humaira up, Maria? I'm just going to have a quick shower. Where is everyone?
They all left for work, but Sauda is sitting with her father. He says he's feeling much better now after whatever happened last night.
Did you hear anything, Maria?
What? No, I was fast asleep.
And Leila brings her up to date on all the events that have been taking place. Humaira looks astonished at the tales of jinn and jadu. Leila.
Wow, this is like something out of a fairy tale, or actually a horror movie. How are you holding up, Leila?
It's been really stressful, but after last night, I'm feeling a bit more at ease. Although, I did have another dream earlier. I dreamt that I had found Mummy's necklace on the floor of a forest.
Really? You told me it's missing. Maybe your dream is a sign that the jinn took it.
Now you just sound like Salman. But Humaira, I must tell you that one good thing that did come out of all of this, Mummy actually apologized last night for always being so condescending towards me.
Really? Wow. That is good news. Now all you have to do is find her necklace and you will be her favorite daughter-in-law.
Humaira, I'm her only daughter-in-law.
Laugh out loud. Oh yes, right. But at least now you know she isn't the one doing jadu on you.
Well, I must admit that the thought did cross my mind. When all these things started happening, I became really suspicious of everyone. I even thought Zunaid was responsible. But since he passed away and the bad stuff didn't come to an end, I know it wasn't him.
Oh, yes. That's the reason I stopped by. I have some news about Zunaid. You know when they brought him into the hospital the day he passed away? They said he had taken an overdose.
Well, that isn't true.
But how can that be? Even the doctors confirmed it.
Zunaid had started pushing drugs for some peddlers because he needed money when he got out of rehab. But then he started feeling guilty because they wanted him to sell to some young kids. So he tried to get out of his deal with them, but he couldn't pay them for the stuff he took. They beat him up until he passed out and then injected heroin into his veins.
Oh my word, that's horrible. And all this time, we were all thinking that Zunaid had gone back to his habit and overdosed. But, Humaira, how do you know all of this?
I heard it from someone. Anyway, Lails, I'd better run, otherwise I'd be late for my meeting at the station.
Station? Don't you mean at the office?
Yes. See you, Lails. Don't worry to open for me. Maria will let me out.
Layla is puzzled at Humaira's hasty departure, but she is even more surprised to learn that Zunaid had been drugged to death.
Hello?
Hello. Is this Miss Hartley?
Yes. Who is this?
This is Officer Mbona. Your sister-in-law called me to tell me that your husband is home.
Oh, yes. Layla did say that she'll inform you about Adnan's return.
Miss Hartley, I know it's barely been 24 hours since he came home, but could you please bring him to the station? We have another case that seems to be linked to this one, and we needed some information.
Sure, officer, although I doubt he'll be much help. He can hardly remember anything that's happened to him over the past week.
Well, Miss Hartley. Oh, just hang on a second.
Nasira waits with her phone pressed to her ear, and she can make out the background sounds from the police station. She hears the words hijacking and shot four times before the line goes dead.
Hello? Officer, are you there?
More chills, more thrills, and more drama frills. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Knights of Layla.